Boy, sure is good to be in church, isn't it? I tell you, I just feel like, at least for me personally, I don't know how you're feeling this morning, but I feel like the power of the Holy Spirit has fallen on my heart. You know, when you think about the faithfulness of God, it'll do something to you. All you have to do is sing about His faithfulness about 5 or 6 minutes, and it'll open your heart to the touch of the Holy Spirit. And I'm believing, even at home, that the touch of God has fallen on you this morning. We're all in this together. We're all standing together, staying connected. We look for the day that we can all be back here together, but we respect you if you can't. But God sure is good. I mean, some of y'all made your way back today, but if you believe the Lord is just really faithful, I want you to give Jesus a hand clap this morning. The ladies just got back from retreat. They're wild. They were wild before they went. And the men are headed up this weekend. Ooh. Man. God is good. Praise the Lord. And I'm excited about what God's doing. I talked to pastors all over the country. I was on the phone with a pastor from New Jersey this week, among many others, and 9 of them had been together, and they were so discouraged. I just let him talk and unpack. Still, in a lot of their churches, only 20-25% of the people are back. And then I just let them unpack and unload, and then I spoke an encouraging word to them. But I share that to share this with you. We need to pray. You know, on our prayer list is to pray for other churches around our state and around our country, in our city. And rural churches and native churches need extra prayer. It's an extra challenge. But let me say this. Mega churches have a challenge of their own. I talked to a person yesterday in a mega church. They usually run about 3,500. They're running about 1,500. But they're doing 9 services to pull that off. I can't even comprehend that. The staff must just, I don't know how they do it. And I told him, I said, that's phenomenal. And God is moving. In homes where people are still watching online, people are getting saved. They're experiencing physical healings. Maybe this morning, if you're at home and you don't know Christ, you will before this day is over. Or we're going to believe for a touch of God on your life. Yes. And for those that are here and that are in their buildings this morning, and I shared this, and this is what I'm sharing with pastors. God wants to move. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to show Himself like never before. I really mean that. It's not just that He wants to save, He wants to heal, He wants to deliver. And, you know, we've just got to believe that He will do it. I think there's been a refining going on in the church. Everybody say, that's me. It is us. As we get our focus back on where our focus belongs. But I believe Jesus wants to show off. Wherever we are in our journey as individuals and as a church, give God a chance to show Himself. If you're at home or you're at school or you're at work or wherever, you're at Home Depot, you know, people will share needs with you in the grocery store line through the plexiglass. Trust me, I let people know I'm praying for them, and they just, you about knocks them down. You know, the Lord wants to show Himself. Jesus is Lord. He's King of Kings. He hasn't lost control, and it will let Him use us. If you can't testify, just say, can I pray for you, and see what the Lord will do. I just really believe that. I was listening to a church early this morning on the East Coast. I was worshiping with them. In this particular church, I'm just praying and I'm worshiping and I'm singing with their worship team. Power of God came in that little place in my house by the fireplace. And these people are believing for revival. Why can't we? Yeah, why can't we believe that in this hour, God will do something supernatural. And I want to say this to you, and I'm going to get to Romans here just in a minute, but I have been overwhelmed many times through this crisis. I have been under duress and stress many times and overworked at times. That's the story of pastors and their staffs. But let me say this in our case, and I mean it from my heart, and I'm telling you the truth. I have never been discouraged for 35 seconds because I know we can trust Him. I know Dale Gray can trust Him. I know the Rock Church can trust Him. And it's not just that I'm being positive this morning, I am, but God has kept my head up through this whole thing. So keep your heads up, Rock Church, both here and at home. Don't let the enemy beat you down. Don't let the flesh get you down. God has a plan for this hour. Now you can clap. We're going to men's retreat this week and we capped it. We've got 60 teen challenge guys coming. I'm certain that 30, probably 50% of them are still lost. I'm going to believe for 50, 60, 70 souls at Man Camp this weekend. And the gates of hell will not prevail against Jesus. The gates of hell will not prevail. We're going to be careful. We're not going to be reckless. We're going to continue to do the things we do in distance. And, you know, I'm not preaching through this thing, though. I hope that's okay with you. But I'm going to wear it. We're going to wear them together. And we're going to protect each other. Anyway, y'all want me to preach? God is good. I love you all so much. And I'm expecting the Lord to do things like we've never seen before. You know, oh, Virginia, it's good to see you. I could pick a bunch of you out, but I'm going to pick on you. I'll tell you what I could do. We're not going to. I could just sing that last song over and over for the next hour. So as we were worshiping, I'm just thinking of all the wonderful things and how faithful Jesus has been to me. Many, many years ago, you can pop that picture up there, Stephen. You know the story. Now, we don't know if that's exactly what it looked like, but Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. Now, some historians, they're not sure if he really nailed them to the door or he sent them by courier. That's just a piece of information. But basically, history tells us that that's the way it happened. Now, we didn't get any photographs or we didn't get any videos of it. But with pen and paper and hammer and nail, God would use Martin Luther to change the known world, period, and especially the religious world. In fact, it would create a theological revolution that we've been talking about for 6 or 7 weeks now as we study and take the journey through the book of Romans about salvation through grace. That seems strange to us hundreds of years later, but it was revolutionary in those days. And like the Apostle Paul before him, Martin Luther had a radical transformation on the inside when he experienced the grace of Jesus Christ. We know, and we talked about it one of the first two messages, that he had a tough journey Luther. It was very tumultuous. He struggled on the inside. He struggled with his father. But it was his hard life growing up that maybe ultimately, and he became a monk, as you know, and his father wasn't very pleased with that because his father wanted him to be an attorney. And the church of the day, the Catholic Church, for hundreds of years, for almost 1,000 years at that time, had ruled and reigned, and much of it was with much false doctrine. They were telling people that you could buy your way into heaven. Some still teach that, by the way. They're called indulgences. And they still teach that maybe you can buy them in after they passed. They were teaching not only that salvation came through Jesus Christ, but it also came through the church, through the Pope. They still teach that. And please don't misunderstand me, because I'm not going to get misfocused today. There are a lot of wonderful Catholic people that love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So don't misunderstand me today. But it was because of the situation that Martin Luther had this radical experience with grace, and it was impossible, completely impossible for him to deny that experience. And he triggered the Reformation with two Latin words, sola fide. And sola fide means faith alone. Martin Luther taught that it was this doctrine in the Bible on which all people will stand or fall. It was this doctrine in the Bible that where the church would stand or fall. And he was right. Sola fide. Faith alone. Faith from beginning to end. And I'm going to connect the dots a little bit to last week, but not very long. See, in chapter 4, last week we talked about it, we'll talk about it again this week. Paul was showing about how central faith was to this entire letter. He was writing an audience that was primarily Jewish believers. And Paul is making a case that it's always been faith alone, whether it was Old Testament or New Testament. We picked up on that last week. It says, Abraham believed and it was credited to him as, say it with me, righteousness. Now, Abraham was even before Moses. Abraham was even before the law. But Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. See, there's one thing God requires for us to experience salvation, and that's faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Say, faith alone. He uses Abraham, a bona fide rock star, not really, of the Old Testament, to teach his audience and to teach us today that it's always been faith. We know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's always been faith. In faith alone. You remember the song in Sunday school? Father Abraham had many sons and many sons. Oh, hush. Along with many other Old Testament heroes, he's a great hero. There was one reason. Abraham was so blessed. I mean, you could pick out a dozen ideas, but there was really one main reason. He believed. Faith alone. God promised he'd have a great name. You know how he ended up with a great name? Faith alone. He said, and there was not even possible that he would become a great nation. You know how that happened from his perspective? Faith alone. He said he'd have many sons and daughters when he had no hope. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Faith alone. He said, told Abraham he was going to have a legacy beyond legacies, who had a legacy and a legacy that had a legacy that had a legacy. And it comes down to faith alone, is which it comes down that to us this morning. If you're going to walk with Jesus Christ intimately, it's by faith alone. If you're going to walk with Jesus Christ victoriously, it's always going to be faith alone. If you're going to experience this beautiful, wonderful grace that I don't have the ability to describe, although I've experienced it over and over, it's only going to be through faith alone. If you're lost and without Jesus Christ this morning, there's nothing you can do or have you done, because we've all sinned, but faith alone in Jesus Christ will save you. If you need healing this morning, it'll be because of faith alone. If you need provision this morning, it'll be because of faith alone. Whatever you ever have on this earth and in heaven someday will be because of faith alone. Everything that the Grays have ever had on this earth or ever will be goes down to sola fide, faith alone. God has been good. God told Abraham, all the families, and that's me and you, look at your neighbor and go, that's you, said that we would all be blessed because of Abraham. And it says Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. One reason above all the reasons. And let me tell you, Abraham got it really, 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 really right. Even though Abraham, like you and I, was very imperfect. And I say very imperfect. Reread the story of Abraham. He made some bad decisions. He loaned his wife out to somebody else different. That's as bad as it gets. Read about it. In other words, he fell short even in his obedience at times. But Abraham believed. God spoke. Abraham believed. He took God's voice seriously. He took God's word seriously. It says he was fully convinced. That's for a little later. Number one, the object of faith is not faith. You can turn faith into a legalistic effort. In fact, you can pick up volumes of books that's turned it into a legalistic effort. There's folks that have gotten out there on the edge and lost their balance that just has turned it into a human effort. The object of faith is not faith. Say it with me. The object of faith is not faith. Have you ever asked yourself if you have enough faith? Well, I have. And yet we know that Jesus said if you just have a mustard seed's worth, you can move mountains. You ever seen a mustard seed? Several of my Bibles, not this one, I tape mustard seeds in them. I mean, it's just tiny. Is your faith pure enough? Are you pure enough? Are you right enough? I don't have time to go back, but we talked about justification last week. Sanctification and glorification. Well, how much faith do you have to have? Are you 80%? 90%? 60%? I'm not talking about your salvation now. I'm just talking about faith in general. Do you need to wish harder? Do you need to pray harder? Do you need to believe harder? The object of faith is not faith. See, the trouble sometimes that enters in this topic is we begin to rely on our than faith. Oh, if I can only believe enough, if I can only do this enough, if I can only do that. And it becomes very legalistic. And the emphasis is not really on true biblical faith and who we're supposed to be focused on. The focus becomes on me and what I want And if I want it and believe for it long enough, then God's got to give it to me because I have faith. And the focus is wrong. Because faith becomes the object, or I become the object, instead of God becoming the object. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, we're just going to read a couple of verses here. And it says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And here it is. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The object of our faith should be Jesus. The object of our faith should be Almighty God. Instead of us taking control of our lives, let's let Him have control of our lives. Instead of our eyes on ourselves and on others, let's put our eyes on Him. It's an uphill battle, this life, many times. I had somebody tell me this morning, I don't know how people have made through 2020 without Jesus. It's been hard enough with Jesus. See, and I'm going to go back, and I took almost an entire lesson some weeks ago talking about Jesus walking on the water and Peter. And I'm telling you, Tim, every song just seemed to confirm my message this morning. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit most of the time calls us into the storm, not out of the storm. And I got to be careful because I don't want a bunny trail. I'm not going to bunny trail. I'm just going to take that thought captive. I wouldn't mind talking about it, but I'm not going to do it. So much of the faith teaching teaches us we don't have to have a storm anymore. So much of this extreme faith teaching teaches if we just pretend the storm's not there, it really won't be there after a while. I'm telling you, it's a little off balance. Because our focus is on the storm and not Him. The focus is on our comfort and not Him. The focus is on what we want and maybe not necessarily what He wants. Because I'm going to tell you, and I walk with the Lord for several many decades now, a lot of the times, just like, you know, God didn't say, hey, Peter, stay in the boat, you'll be safe in there. Have faith in the boat. Have faith while you're secure. Have faith for those things you want when you get to the shore. He called him into the storm. I've found over a lifetime that many times God calls us into the storm. God calls us to come out of the boat. And I believe to a degree, and you take us home and pray about it, God is not calling the church to stay in the boat in this storm. God is calling us by faith to come out of the boat, to walk into the storm and be a shining light of the grace of Jesus Christ. Doesn't always call us out of the wild. He calls us into the wild. One of the first things the Lord experienced, we read it early in the Gospels, the Holy Spirit led Him into the wilderness. When Peter took his gaze off Jesus, he began to slip. Faith in faith. We got to have faith in Him. We struggle with our faith. We do. But if you always try to have it, and I don't know if I'm articulating it. I'm just doing the best I can. If we always have to try to have faith within ourselves, it's really not faith at all. It's just human flesh self-effort. Because just like I couldn't ever be saved without grace, I can never have enough faith. I think that's why Jesus said, even if you have a mustard seed, because I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. Because most of the time I have some mustard seed faith. I have a little, but I've found over the years in a lot of situations I've been in, even a lot of situations in this last 6 months, I didn't have enough faith. But I had a mustard seed. I might have had 2 or 3 mustard seeds. See, I found that sometimes Jesus, and when you're living a life of faith, in fact, I found this to be very consistent with the church and with my own life. That sometimes He doesn't lead us into a path of certainty, but a path of uncertainty. And I don't know why that is, but I have a few thoughts. Maybe He doesn't want us to be certain in and of ourselves. He wants us to be certain that He's the author, He's the finisher, He's the perfecter, He's the writer, He's God, He's Jesus, He's the power, He's the Holy Spirit, and that without Him we're nothing, John 15, but within Him greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And I can believe that because my eyes are on Him and not on me and what me might want. Oh. Doesn't even mean you'll know the path ahead, although I've found God will give you promises way out here, and I wish I don't have time to teach that today. You get a God-given promise that's way out here. There's usually steps to get there, and a lot of times, you know, God will give you a step or two, but He won't give you 6 steps down line because you got to have faith. God told us to buy this building 12 years ago. There is no question we were led by the Holy Spirit. 100% of the vote of the membership. I still have no clue how He's going to pay for it. We're paying for it. It's about trust. Faith and faith alone. Trust. It's more about heart knowing than head knowing. It says against all hope. Abraham believed. Against all hope. What is hope against all hope? Have any of you ever had a time where you didn't have hope about a situation? I have. Just even a couple of months ago, I've been praying for this person for so long for their salvation, and for about a week I lost hope. Been praying 30 years. But when I got my eyes back on Jesus, He restored my hope. Not what I was seeing with my eyes. Huh. Look, anybody know anybody that's had children at 100 years old? Basically. Any 100-year-old people here want to have kids today? Are there any 60-year-old people that want to have kids today? I'm glad we had a bundle of them. I wouldn't take $1 million for my children. They're awesome. I wouldn't give a nickel for one more. You want to start all over? But God had given Abraham a promise. And Abraham believed God, faith alone, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And I need to teach a little longer on this, and I don't know how so much time gets away. Why faith? Romans 4 and 18. Let's read a few verses. Come on. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. I want everybody to say that. He faced the fact. I got it. He didn't pretend like the facts weren't real. That's different than what some people are teaching. He faced the fact that his body was good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he has promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. See, that's why faith is so central to salvation. What am I going to pick out of this? And then I'll pick my last point out of this text. Is Abraham gave God the glory for everything. It says he was strengthened in his faith, didn't waver in his faith, but gave glory to God. Let me say this morning, sometimes you got to give God the glory before the promise is fulfilled. That's faith. Not just giving God glory when you feel like it. And after he's answered, it's time to give God the glory. I'm telling you, this is a simple point. We're going to hit it quick. We're going to move on. If you're living a life of genuine faith, I have people say, well, I just had so much faith, this happens. And I'm saying, that's not why it happened. It happened because he's faithful. It's on your best, and I'm not... We need to be people of faith. One of the disciples said, Lord, please increase our faith. I get that. But you're never going to have enough faith, not even a mustard seed wise, if you don't keep your eyes on him and always give him the glory. And please stay balanced. Some of us have believed over and over and over and prayed for years, and it's been genuine and our focus has been on him, and people come into the kingdom. I get that. And you've trusted God and you are trusting God. I get that. Please don't be off balance with me. But I'm telling you, for every answered prayer, for every good thing, for every good blessing, Jesus gets all the glory. Jesus gets all the glory for anything we've ever had. I've got 4 wonderful children. Jesus gets all of the glory. I've got a wonderful wife that, you know, we wouldn't have made it past 3 years of marriage, and God healed our marriage. Jesus gets all of the glory. I've had times in my life where I didn't know where the next meal was coming. And I was believing, I was praying, but Jesus gets all of the glory. I've been in dark valleys like you, and you're trudging, and you're believing, and you're standing on the Word, and you're praying the Word. But unless he had rescued me in that valley, I'd still be in that same valley. Jesus gets all of the glory. I'll testify to the battles he's won. Every battle, every little battle, every big battle, when it's been dark in life, when oppression comes in, when there's stress and anxiety, when there's things going on in the home front, Jesus showed up. Jesus answered prayer. Jesus provided. Jesus saved. Jesus healed. Jesus delivered. Jesus gets all of the glory. Sola fide. Faith alone. Faith alone. Faith alone. Glory to God. And that's the story I'll tell. Oh, my Lord, he's never failed. If you're here at home this morning, he will not fail you. He never has. He never has. See, lastly, you can always trust in the character of God. And again, that's what Paul was writing. Abraham was fully persuaded, fully convinced that God had the power to do what he said he would do. Faith is a confidence and focus on God to know that He has the power to do what He said He would do. Faith does not do... This is going to rock some of y'all's world. Faith does not have anything to do with predetermined outcomes and holding God hostage to it. Yeah, write that one down. Think about it. It's not again that He may not give promises. And you can start believing and praying for the promise He's given you. It's okay to set goals. It's okay to have things you need and even have things you want. Because God gives us our wants sometimes too. I'm just going to say He does. He blesses us financially. He blesses us with stuff. It just can't ever be about that. And if God has put a promise on your heart, stay with it. Don't waver. Keep praying. Keep believing. Faith alone. Please. Please do. But if it's something you've come up in your mind that you want because you want it, then don't hold God hostage to that thought you're having. And call it faith. Y'all see the balance in that? Abraham didn't pretend. He faced the facts. But he trusted God. He knew he couldn't have children. That was a fact. But he knew he could with God's help. That's faith. He didn't pretend. He didn't start praying, Sarah's pregnant, Sarah's pregnant. Oh, I know, Jeff, she's really pregnant. That's the silliest teaching I've ever heard. It has been all my life. No, Sarah's not pregnant. She doesn't have a shot in heaven to get pregnant, except for Him. He didn't pretend she wasn't pregnant by saying it. He just trusted God would do what He said He would do. This morning, just trust God. You get up some days, you'll be on the 80% faith roll. The next day, if you got a stomach ache and a headache, you're probably on a 20% roll. If you had too many jalapenos last night, you may have lost your faith altogether. But He's still faithful. And I'm having a little fun, but y'all hear what I'm saying? God is so good. He didn't deny the facts. He didn't pretend. He just trusted. You see, faith is a different way of seeing. Faith alone. And I know I can trust in God. And I can trust in God's character. Everything the Bible says about Almighty God is true. I can trust that. I can trust Him. I can trust the fact that God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I can trust that. That He loves us. I can trust those things that I know about God. Because He's strong. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it says that Abraham believed. He had faith alone in God, and it was credited to him. Proverbs 3 and 5 says this. Y'all could quote it, some of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. I tell you, you feel your faith wavering, use that scripture. Pray. You can stand on that. You can stand on that. Around 1855, a guy named Charles Blondin, an acrobat and a tightrope walker. You got any tightrope walkers? I tell you, this year it's felt like walking on a tightrope at times, hasn't it? I don't know how they do it, but they did it. They stretched a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And this tightrope walker, Charles Blondin, he and his manager sold tickets. Come watch this guy walk over the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. They sold the place out. No net, no safety measures, no safety chain. Sold the place out. Because most people thought it was impossible. So they paid. Before crossing, he says this. And you know, the falls are loud. Believe it or not, I've never been to the falls. I've got to go. I know it's a bucket list. I got to go. Not on a tightrope. No. Do you believe I can walk across this tightrope? The whole crowd, we believe. Everybody say it. Come on. We believe. No, I want to say it again. You see this treachery, this danger. Do you? No nets. I mean, he's selling it. He'd already got their money, but he's selling it anyway. He's a showman. Do you believe I can walk across this tightrope without falling to my death? And the people there said, say it with me, we believe. His third question. Oh, and I love this question. If so, will any of you volunteer to hop on my back and walk across that tightrope with me carrying you on my back? Now the falls were rolling, but you could have heard a pin drop if it hadn't been for the Niagara Falls. And I imagine there's a little nervous laughter there, just like you had this morning. And finally, one man spoke up and said, I believe. Hopped on his back. And Charles Blondin carried Harry Concord across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope all the way across. It was his manager. His manager trusted Charles' strength. His manager trusted Charles' ability. And his manager trusted Charles' heart. God wants our faith this morning. He wants our focus to be on Him. He's not calling us out of the storm. He's calling us into the storm. He wants us to take Him at His word and trust Him with His promises. Do you trust Jesus? Ability and strength and heart enough to let Him carry you through whatever you're going through this morning? Do we trust Jesus enough, His strength and His ability and heart to carry the church, to carry this church through the season that we find our nation in. And I believe He's asking us all this morning, will you trust Me? Sola fide. Faith alone. Let's pray. Lord, some trust in horses and chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. And I believe with all my heart, Lord, and I'm asking You as well to continue to empower Your church to rise up together in this hour. Our eyes fixed on You, Jesus, and our faith in You alone. And that faith will carry us through every situation, every need, every answer, because You're faithful. So Holy Spirit, at home and here and as we go, not just here for an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half, pray You would continue to raise up this people of faith and empower this people of faith. Stand with me, hear it at home. We've been doing this a lot because I think it's a way for us to be in agreement and see God move in our lives. So if you're at home this morning, stand where you are, please. And if you're here this morning, you can stand. And I want you to follow me in a heartfelt prayer. Okay? Lord Jesus, we stand together this morning. Faith alone. And in our hearts and in our minds, we know that we know we can trust You. In fact, today, Lord, I will say, I trust You. I trust You. Jesus, I need Your grace. Holy Spirit, I need Your power. Lord, I know that in and of my own strength, it's a thing called weakness. But I'm asking You this morning, as Your Bible tells me, make me strong when I'm weak. Help me trust when I'm faithless. Pick me up when I miss the mark. Jesus, I trust You. Lord, use me. Flow through me. Call me this week into the wild. Call me this week out of the boat and sustain me and help me to sustain others. And Lord, today, in my heart and in my mind, I testify to the battles you've won and the battles you will win. And today, I'm standing on the promises that you've given me. I'm speaking to things that are not as if they are. You've given me promises, Holy Spirit. You've given me your word. And today I stand. And I will persevere by faith alone. Boy, boy. Oh. Look at me. So we're gonna do children's church here just in a minute. In here. You have enough faith. 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 I don't know how much you got, but you've got enough when your eyes are on Him for every battle, every unanswered prayer, every trial. You have enough. Oh, I'm not good enough. Well, if you got Christ, you are. Before we leave, anybody here need Jesus this morning? Said, I need to make Christ Lord and Savior of my life. You want to put your trust in Him today? If that's you, will you hold your hand up where I can see you? Said, I want to make Jesus my Savior. Okay. Anybody else? Said, I want to make Jesus Lord and Savior of my life. Okay. There's another hand. Somebody else. Just a few seconds. Okay, we're gonna pray with them. That's what we do. We can't get to these altars yet. I don't think it's safe enough. It may even be safe enough, but we're going to be careful anyway. I said, we're going to be careful anyway. Let's help these folks. The two men that raised your hands, follow me in this prayer. And you will be, if you mean it from your heart, you will be just as saved as any of us that have been walking with Christ for years. Let's help them out, church. Dear Lord Jesus, if you're at home, pray the prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize today that I need a Savior. I've fallen short of the glory of God. I've sinned. And I'm asking you today to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me, Lord. Justify me, Lord. And I'm making an invitation right now, Jesus, for you to come into my heart, come into my life, and be Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for two gave her heart to Christ.